All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is on with me, and I'm always happy when he's here. You know, Sandy, I wanted to switch gears again. And Ukrainian MP has warned of an impending famine if action is not taken to unblock the country's ports and release millions of tons of grain. PA Media reports Kara Rudick, leader of the Liberal Voice Party, was speaking to journalists at the Scottish Parliament. Before the war, Ukraine was top three of the countries producing grains, wheat, sunflower oil, tomatoes, and corn, Rudick said. Exports that could feed the rest of the world, the MP said, were stuck in ports in Ukraine with no way of getting them out. In 10 weeks, we are facing famine, especially for countries in the global south. We need a unified approach to help unblock our ports and help get all this harvest out. Rudick says she raised the issue in a meeting with Westminster Conservative MP Tobias Elwood. And so we're coming up, Sandy, to a critical, critical point in this war early. Russia definitely is not going to allow that grain and wheat to get out. They're using that as leverage to maybe make Ukraine and the nation do what they want them to do in order to release that all of that bounty. What is your take on it?
Well, I think there is negotiation going on with Russia as to whether they'll open up Odessa or one of the ports and allow it to be the portal through which grain would move. But one of the horrors of war is the extent to which it dislocates what goes on in the world, and the world is far more interdependent. It isn't just silicone chips and parts for cars that are interdependent. You know, Egypt and Northern Africa gets all of its grain from Russia and Ukraine and that area, or not all of it, but a substantial right. percentage of it. And so we've got all these situations that are interdependent, and when the machinery breaks down, and clearly warfare destroys the machinery of normal commerce in the region in which it's occurring. So one of the things that ought to be taken into account by those who might participate either directly or indirectly in the initiation of warfare or the conditions that start warfare is the extent to which it's going to disrupt not just the participants in the war, but the whole region, and particularly in countries that are sources. I mean, Afghanistan might not have been the source of a great deal of stuff for the world other than maybe poppies, which are probably used for more nefarious purposes. But, the warfare disrupts the world, and we knew that. We saw that in World War II. The whole world was put on in a complete state of chaos as a result of a large war.
You know, Sandy,
and that's what we can expect.
Well, you know, and maybe because World War II was so long ago that, you know, there aren't a lot of people still around who remember it. But, you know, the outcomes of it. But we're here now, and this is upon us. And what Russia is going to want in return, Ukraine is not going to like.
Well, yes, and that's the problem with the current process. It's not clear the extent to which negotiation is ongoing, but I continue to say that the outcome of this war is a pretty clear in terms of what the likely outcome is, and it's the same outcome that was likely at the time that Ukraine was surrounded by Russian troops, and it has to do with Ukraine giving up claims for Crimea and the settlement of the issues associated with the Donbas region. And I think no matter how long this war goes on, that's going to be the ultimate outcome of it. In the meantime, there's been a great deal of suffering to get from here to there And that's the thing that we ought to analyze, you know, day after tomorrow, is what was the cause of the precipitating events. And I think part of it was that Ukraine's unwillingness to get to that point of negotiation without war. And if they get to that point after war, then I think we can see that maybe the participants, the people who helped Ukraine resist that negotiation, were maybe not doing a wise thing.
You know, Sandy, I'm looking at this. Zelensky is saying that Ukraine is losing 100 soldiers every day, 500 wounded every day. And yet the outcome of it, of what's going to occur, as you just stated, it's we already know what the outcome is going to be. No matter how long it takes, we know what the outcome is going to be. It's David taking on Goliath, taking on David, David taking on Goliath. We know what the outcome is going to be. There is no scenario that Ukraine wins this, right?
Right. I mean, we're not going to be able to find the magic stone that David can put in his slingshot and take down Goliath. We're gonna prolong the fight. David's going to sustain a lot of blows. It's going to last a lot longer than people expected. You know, we're giving Ukraine these rockets now, and these rockets are designed to be more sophisticated, more capable of defending Ukraine. They have the potential to be used offensively and to be fired into Russia, which is creating sort of a tinderbox of issues associated with our delicate balance of supporting Ukraine without provoking Russia by giving Ukraine offensive weapons instead of defensive weapons. And so, you know, the U.S. is sort of treading on this dangerous water, but we're being very careful now to restrict Ukraine with respect to the use of those rockets so they can only be used defensively. And it's clear that if Ukraine is constrained only to the defensive use of weapons to defend against this war with the much larger opponent, ultimately the outcome is predictable.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. CJ, what's going on?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. Let's not forget how we got here. We're not safe with a Democrat president.
Oh.
Obama watched the red line drawn in Syria and did nothing, and then watched through Crimea. So that's on the Black Sea, and this is on Biden. This all, remember, his sanctions were meant to deter. Oh, yeah. His administration said that, and then he said, no, they were never meant to deter. This is a failure in Afghanistan. We left famine and allies behind in Afghanistan, and you guys will excuse the 13 soldiers lost, and I cried over that Memorial Day, and I hope
you did.
Other Americans.
So you cried over the 13 soldiers that died in Afghanistan. You know, why? Soldiers are dying. Soldiers are dying. Soldiers. Soldiers are dying all over the world. You know. So why did you pick? Why did you pick Afghanistan soldiers to die over? Or you? This a political?
I cried over them all.
Yeah, but you said Afghanistan.
You want to excuse Joe Biden? He caused this. This is his war. He watched Afghanistan. He failed it. He surrendered it. He gave up. And Putin saw weakness. We see it today. We're going to see it on Taiwan. And you're going to excuse a nuclear war. We have Iran, who has enough power or centrifuges to build a nuclear weapon.
And so Iran is going to now enter the nuclear age, and we're going to be fearful of the prehistoric nuclear weapon that Iran is going to have, even though we have the second most nuclear weapons and the most updated nuclear arsenal in the world. Is that what you're telling me?
We're going to watch them. They promised to use it on Israel, Earl. You may excuse it, but this is a failure.
Do you think Israel is not capable of defending themselves with their updated nuclear weapons? Do you think that?
Yeah. Well, you may. This is walked. Remember, these sanctions were meant to deter.
Hey, hold on, hold on, hold on, Sandy. Sandy, you, Sandy, do you care to respond?
It's a joke.
Well, I think CJ forgets that Pakistan and some countries that are pretty fragile have nuclear weapons as well, and so the the proliferation of, and North Korea has nuclear weapons or appears to,
because of Bill Clinton, and Madeleine Albright.
CJ, really, come on. How about the Iraq War and the, how sound was that Iraq War, and was that a democratic war?
No, but no. You know what? Peace through strength. And was Saddam Hussein, did he follow the sanctions and the beliefs of the UN as they watched them walk into where? Saddam was able, he was never forthcoming with evidence. And how many?
He was our ally. He was our ally. He was our ally, right?
Yeah, you sure were.
Okay.
What a joke.
We armed him during the Reagan administration. We actually armed Iraq
when he went to war with Iran.
So I just think things are CJ, let me just say, I think things are a lot more complicated than you would like to assume they are. I think that the assumptions you make are quite biased in the way you want to look at the world. If you persist in unbundling facts in the way you do, I hope that there aren't a lot of people following your path. That's all.
Sandy, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Be right back.